Okay, to continue with the shofar story, with the blowing of the shofar. So we said that you have to listen, you have to have kavana to be yotze the mitzvah shofar. The one that blows needs to have kavana that people that are listening to the shofar should also be yotze the mitzvah of shofar. Now, after shofar blowing, like we mentioned, ideally you're not supposed to talk until the end of Musaf, because the bracha that you say on the shofar applies to the whole shofar blowing throughout Musaf and at the end of Musaf and so on. So ideally a person should not talk at that time. Now, according to halacha, biblical halacha at least, women are not obligated in the mitzvah of shofar. Why? Because it's a mitzvah connected to time. Any mitzvah connected to time, women are not obligated in. Nevertheless, it says in halacha that the mitzvah of shofar women did accept upon themselves as an obligation. And because of that, there's a number of dinim. Number one, you're allowed to go blow shofar for a woman. Even though on Rosh Hashanah, when you finish the mitzvah of shofar blowing, you're not allowed to blow shofar for no reason, because it's a musical instrument that you're not allowed to play on Yom Tov. But if somebody needs to hear shofar, obviously you can go blow shofar for them. Even if it's women, even though women are not obligated in shofar, nevertheless, because they accepted upon themselves, you're allowed to blow shofar for women, but it says ideally they should make the bracha rather than the man who already was yetzer the mitzvah of shofar. Can you talk in between what? In between the first 30 and the last? Yeah, they're allowed to talk, but b'chal and shul, people shouldn't be talking from the beginning of davening to the end of davening. But they're not obligated in that respect. But that's why l'mashul, a child though, kid under bar mitzvah, can ablo shofar for a woman. Because she's doing it because she wants to be yotze the mitzvah, a child who's not obligated in mitzvahs cannot blow for her. Definitely not for a man. But now, during the musaf, when people are davening musaf, like we learned, our minig is that even during the quiet Shemoneh Esrei, they also blow shofar. Now, what happens if you're not up to the chazan? You know, you're davening slower, and they're about to blow shofar. They bang on the table, they're about to blow shofar. So what do? So halacha says you just stop where you're up to. If you can't finish a pasuk in the davening, you should. You finish the pasuk, you stop davening, you listen to the shofar blowing. They finish the shofar blowing, you continue davening. They do it the next time, again you stop, and so on and so forth. Now, in most places, they have what's called a makri. A makri means the one that tells the shofar blower what to do. In other words, like he says, tkiya, the guy blows a tkiya. He says, shvarim trua, you blow shvarim trua. Then he says, tkiya, and so on. Our minig is that the makri doesn't say it, he just points to it. He knows he'll point to tkiya, and the person will blow the tkiya. He'll point to shvarim trua, the person will blow shvarim trua. We don't say it verbally because of chashash of hefsek and other reasons, but most places the makri actually says what to blow. And it says in halacha that besides the Baal Tekeya needs to know the halacha, but also the makri, the one that tells him what to blow, also needs to know the halacha, because he has to know how long, like we learned yesterday, how long the tekiya should be. Sometimes you have to re-blow or not re-blow. You know, if you make a mistake, what you're sounding like, and so on and so forth. So therefore, there is this concept called the makri. During the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei, again we blow the shofar. But again, we said there's two differences. One difference is that when you blow shvarim trua, you don't blow in one breath. You stop after shvarim and then blow the trua. And in the first 30, you blow shvarim trua together. During musaf, and Rosh Hashanah is as follows. It's a very long musaf. There's three parts of the musaf Shemoneh Esrei. It's called Malchi, Zechreinus, and Shefiris. It's obviously the longest musaf of the year of the Rosh Hashanah davening. So it says a person should daven with the proper kavana. A person should learn what the prayers mean, to know what they mean, and to daven with the proper intent. Yes.
Why regards to skipping it or staying at the minyan, what happens to that one?
At Rosh Hashanah, you just daven at your own speed.
You didn't feel so much when I started at the minyan?
Yeah. Obviously, if somebody could start earlier to be able to daven Shemoneh Esrei with the minyan, they should.
So what's more important, to start with the minyan or to start Shemoneh Esrei
with the minyan? In Halacha itself, it says to start earlier to be able to daven Shemoneh Esrei with the minyan. But the Alter Rebbe said to his chassidim that if you start the davening Heidul, you start with the minyan, and then you daven at your own pace, it's also considered Tefillah B'Tzibur. Okay? Now, that's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. It's also Minig this year when it's not on Shabbos that you go to Tashlich. You go to a place where there's water with fish that we should multiply like fish. It says an interesting thing in Halacha that a lot of people are unaware of. Many people have a custom that when they go to Tashlich to the fish, they take some breadcrumbs and they feed it to the fish. What's the reason why they do that? So it says in Halacha the reason is because we want to show Hashem we're kind to creatures, that He should be kind to us. So if we're thinking about feeding the fish, so then Hashem will ultimately take care of us. The problem Halacha says with that is, you're not allowed to feed fish that don't belong to you on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So therefore it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to feed fish on Yom Tov, and you shouldn't do it. Even though many people do it, but it says in Halacha, you really shouldn't do it. Unless if you own the fish, then you can feed them on Shabbos or Yom Tov. But if you don't own the fish, you're not allowed to. Okay? That's the Tashlich story. The second night of Yom Tov is as follows. Normally, we'll just start it today and we'll continue Mitzvah tomorrow. When you have 2 days Yom Tov, we have 2 days Yom Tov because outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's what's called Sveika de Yoima, we don't know which day is the real Yom Tov. Interestingly, even in Eretz Yisrael, they have Rosh Hashanah 2 days. Even in Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Hashanah is 2 days, even though if you look in Chumash, it says Rosh Hashanah is 1 day. But why do we have 2 days in every Yom Tov? So the reason is because in the olden times they didn't have calendars. So how did they know when Rosh Chodesh was? So they had two witnesses come to Beis Din in the morning, and they testified that they saw the moon at night. Beis Din checked them out, made sure they were kosher witnesses, make sure that the testimony is true, and it could be true, because Beis Din first figures out if it's possible to see the moon or not. And if Beis Din figured out that it's impossible to see the moon, and two guys come to Beis Din and say, we saw the moon, Beis Din knows right away they're liars. So first Beis Din figured out themselves when it's feasible to see the moon. But the Torah says, you don't proclaim Rosh Chodesh until two witnesses come to Beis Din and say, we know that we saw the moon, and Beis Din says, Mekudesh, Mekudesh, that day becomes Rosh Chodesh. So let's say in a regular month, Monday morning, witnesses come to Beis Din, and they say, Sunday night, we saw the moon, Beis Din checks them out, Monday becomes Aleph. Monday becomes Rosh Chodesh. What happens if the witnesses didn't come? So then, Rosh Chodesh would be tomorrow. So some months therefore had 29 days, because if after 29 days the witnesses came, let's say the 29th day would be Sunday, and Sunday night witnesses saw the moon, and they came to Beis Din Monday morning would be Aleph. So how many days did the previous month have? 29. What happens if the witnesses didn't come, and they came the next day, or even if they didn't come? So then the din was, the first month had 30 days, and Aleph became Tuesday. That is on a regular month. How did Beis Din let everybody know when Rosh Chodesh was? They didn't have internet, they didn't have email, they didn't have fax machines, they didn't have telephones. How did Beis Din let everybody know that today was Rosh Chodesh? People had to know. They had to know, number one, what to say in Chitas, what Tillim to say. Number two, they had to know which Kabbonis to bring. Number three, they had to know to keep the Chagim, which, like Pesach is the 15th of Nisan, and Sukkot is the 15th of Tishrei, and so on. So initially the Gemara says, Beis Din would light big torches on mountains, and then the next mountain saw that torch, and they lit the torch, and then the next mountain also saw that fire, and they lit the torches, and this went out throughout the mountains in Eretz Yisrael. In a very short time, Jews all around Eretz Yisrael were able to know when Rosh Chodesh was. Then, as always, there were troublemakers. Jews that like to, or going that Jews are going that like to make trouble. So they would light torches on the wrong nights, and this mixed up the whole system. So therefore, Bezdin went to the good old-fashioned way of the Pony Express, which was Bezdin sent out shluchim to all around Eretz Yisrael and certain places in Chutz La'aretz where a lot of Jews lived, and Bezdin said to them, the shluchim came out and they came a few days later, whenever it was, and they said Monday was Rosh Chodesh. Okay, they were able to get there in time to tell people that the past Monday Bezdin made the first of the month of Rosh Chodesh. Based on that, they're able to know when Sukkot would be, when Pesach would be, when other things would be. What happened, though, in Chutz La'aretz? People that lived outside of Eretz Yisrael, so the shluchim didn't reach there in time. It took sometimes more than 2 weeks for shluchim to get somewhere. So the problem is, it came the month of Nisan. You know Pesach is on the 15th of the month. The question is, the Jews don't know what the 15th of the month is. It could be Rosh Chodesh after 29 days. It could be Rosh Chodesh after 30 days. They didn't know. So therefore, what did the people outside of Eretz Yisrael do, the Gemara says? They kept 2 days as a doubt. Because it could be either after 29 days or after 30 days. More than that, it can't be. Less than that, it can't be. Because a month is really 29 and a half days. So you can't make Rosh Chodesh in the middle of the day, the Rambam writes. So therefore you need to make it sometimes after 29 days, after 30 days. So people that lived in Eretz Yisrael, the messengers got to them, so they were able to know exactly when Rosh Chodesh was. People that lived outside of Eretz Yisrael, they didn't know which day was Rosh Chodesh. The Shluchim didn't come there, Bezdin's messengers. So they kept 2 days as a doubt. So it says in Halacha, even though nowadays we have a calendar, and nowadays we know exactly when Yom Tov is, we know exactly which is the 15th, but it's called Minig Aviseinu Biyadeinu, tradition. If they kept 2 days outside of Eretz Yisrael, we keep 2 days outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Now, the problem was, even in Eretz Yisrael, for Rosh Hashanah. Because when the Shluchim, when the Edom came, the witnesses came, to testify that we saw the moon, and they came to Bezdin that morning, Monday morning, and Bezdin would proclaim it to Rosh Chodesh, it would immediately become Yom Tov, would become Chag, it would be Rosh Hashanah. So therefore the Shluchim were not allowed to go out on horseback, because it was Yom Tov, to tell the people, even in Eretz Yisrael. Secondly, even in Eretz Yisrael took more than 1 day to get there. So the people in Eretz Yisrael, even by Rosh Hashanah, didn't know. So therefore, people in Eretz Yisrael kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah for the same reason, because they also weren't sure which day Bezdin proclaimed Rosh Chodesh. To be continued tomorrow, that even in the Beis HaMikdash, sometimes they kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah. And that will continue tomorrow.